From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Monday edition, parents in my home state of Louisiana are irate over an explicit sex survey given to middle school students at a school clinic in Oakdale, Louisiana. How widespread is this graphic survey, and who is responsible for it? Louisiana Congressman Ralph Abraham joins me in just a moment. Louisiana is not the only state where parents and others are concerned over the materials in the schools that are, quote-unquote, grooming children to be sexualized. Arizona State Senator Sylvia Allen is here with those details. And speaking of targeting children, growing concern among health experts that the vaping industry is targeting young people with their flavored products. That is increasing the use of e-cigarettes by America's youth. Why the concern? We'll talk about it with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, a little later. Also, a lawmaker in Illinois pushing a travel ban for state employees going to states that restrict abortion. State Representative Daniel Dittich says he has a responsibility to protect state employees, stating the reason for his legislation is to protect state employees who are pregnant from being in states where they might be prevented from receiving necessary health care. Interesting. I should note that Illinois was the home state of Dr. Ulrich Klumpfer, who stored aborted babies in his garage. I wonder if Representative Dittich might care to address that real concern. Travis Weber joins me for what I'm sure will be a very interesting conversation. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. Let me remind you, coming up October the 11th through the 13th, Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C., to find out how you can be a part of this key event for conservatives from across America, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, as I mentioned, parents in Oakdale, Louisiana, expressed outrage after their middle school children were asked sexually explicit questions on a survey at the school-based health center. Evidence now shows Oakdale's not the only place. Joining me now is Congressman Ralph Abraham, who represents the 5th District of Louisiana, and he serves on the Agriculture Committee and the Armed Services Committee. Congressman Abraham, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony.
Now, you've spoken out about this. You're very concerned with what you are hearing and seeing is happening in the schools with these surveys.
Oh, absolutely. Look, our children are precious items. They are not a social experiment, and I get as irate as anybody can when I see this stuff being given, these questionnaires, to middle school students. Come on, you know, there is just, it's just way out of bounds, and I want it stopped.
Now, one of the mothers of one of the middle school students, Kristen Willis, has spoken out about this, saying that she was shocked when her son came home, she'd been getting an exam for football in the school clinic, and asked all types of invasive questions about what kind of sex he's had, who he has had sex with. I mean, really, is this something that we should be focusing our time and attention on? And in some cases, desensitizing our young people to this this type of activity. Because when you ask questions, it's almost as if you're expected to be doing it. Therefore, we're asking you questions about it.
No, you're exactly right, Tony. And again, you know, again, these young people are our future. They are our life. And if you look at Louisiana's rating in the nation's school systems, we're almost dead last. Why don't we concentrate on the things that really matter to our good students, and that's the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. Let the teachers teach. Let the parents parents. And let's get government, state, or federal out of the classroom. It's just foolish. It's wrong. And, you know, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure it never happens again.
Well, this actually comes from the state. Now it's enticed by the federal government. This has some connections to Obamacare and the monies that flow down to the states that march in sync with that liberal agenda. But state officials are complicit in this. They've given the go-ahead, and they report the findings.
Absolutely, they're complicit in it. They know what's going on, and you know, my concern is, do they care? That's something I will ask them directly, and have asked them directly to their face, as you know, what are you thinking? It's just again, it's just so far out there that there is nothing they can tell me that would convince me that they're right. They are dead wrong, and we're going to fight this. We, you know, every step of the way. I do not want it happening again in Louisiana. I don't want it happening anywhere in the nation, but certainly not in my home state of Louisiana.
Yeah, this, you know, again, going back to the Obamacare, this was a part of promoting these school health clinics in our schools. I remember back when I was in the state legislature in Louisiana, these were controversial because it was kind of a backdoor to Planned Parenthood and some of the others that had relationships with these clinics. We see this with the Obamacare, baiting them with this money. But this is not just limited to Oakdale. This is more widespread, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, and to your point, it is the Obamacare mantra. Look, they promote abortion, which I am vehemently opposed to in any form or fashion. They prevent these questions. I mean, they solicit these questionnaires that, again, put our young students' mind, their mind state. They, you know, they should be thinking about football, softball, basketball, academics. This should be something that they shouldn't even be thinking of in middle school. Now, you know, if they are, that needs to be the parent's choice to have right. that discussion with that student. Certainly not the school, and certainly not the my Louisiana Department of Health in Louisiana, which, again, has a big record or a high record of promoting abortion. We're going to stop it. We're going to just stop it.
You know, that brings up a really good point when you talk about this is something parents should have conversations, but the schools in many ways, and not all, but in many cases, discouraging that communication with parents. I mean, I'm really what shocks me most, Congressman, is that this story didn't become a story until one parent asked a question about it publicly. And Oakdale's not the only site. There are 60 sites in the state of Louisiana who receive grant funding in part from the Department of Health and Office of Public Health, the Adolescent School-Based Health Center. And so these surveys are being asked all over the state. Why are not more parents asking these questions? I think it's because they don't know about it.
I think you're exactly right. And some of the parents that I have actually talked to, they don't know about it. It catches them blindsided. Certainly when they find out about it, they're enraged, as they should be. But, you know, this is being done very secretively. I think certainly, as mentioned before, with the approval of the government of the state of Louisiana, you know, again, I just go back and back and back. We've got to stop this. And if we don't, then, you know, shame on us for not standing up for our children.
Right. I mean, I know, again, it's been, it's probably been 17 years, 16 years since I've been in the legislature. I know this is something that we spoke about, not allocating or designating the authority of the local schools to go off the rails on these issues. This is clearly something that's coming from the top, the governor, who has oversight of the Department of Health and hospitals under which the Department of Public Health resides. They're getting their marching orders from there. The governor could turn this thing around today if he chose to.
Yeah, and you and I both know whether it's federal or state funding, in this case state funding, this is taxpayer money. This is something that does require effort. It requires treasure, and this governor is allowing that to happen in the state of Louisiana. We're gonna stop it.
Congressman Abraham, before I let you go, what would you say to parents out there? Not just about this particular survey. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we're seeing this type of explicit sexual material. And in fact, I'm going to talk to a lawmaker in Arizona who's calling out the state there for the material in the schools for sexualizing our children, grooming them to be really exploited. Our parents need to be watchful of what's happening in the classroom.
Yes, very, you know, I would just tell the parents, be very vigilant, and please, please, you know, talk to your children. Again, they are the most precious thing in the world, but if you don't ask them about their day, they're not going to tell you sometimes. So you have to ask specific questions, and I know, you know, the parents that I've talked to, they're doing that.
Extremely important. Congressman Ralph Abraham, thanks so much for joining us, and I appreciate you putting a spotlight on this issue. I think it's extremely important because what's happening in our classroom, I believe, has gotten, it's gotten extreme in the last decade, and it's time parents take back the classrooms.
Yep, I agree with you. Let's empower the parents to empower those students and stand up, and let's fight for what we know is morally and ethically right.
All right. Congressman Ralph Abraham, thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Thanks, guys.
Congressman Ralph Abraham, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and you can follow the links over. Look, you're going to constantly hear me say this, parents, but what's happening in the classroom is rapidly descending into, well, it's a moral darkness, and they're taking advantage of our children. And we're going to talk about it in just a moment with a state senator from the state of Arizona facing the same thing. This is not isolated to one state. We've talked to him about California. We see this in Virginia. It's everywhere. And parents, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but you have a responsibility to be informed and knowledgeable about what your children are being exposed to. And you have the authority to speak up and question it. Just because I know in my day growing up, when I was a kid in school, you know, parents, I mean, they really kind of just kind of gave the schools the leeway to do what was best because they thought that they had the children's best interest at heart. And I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't teachers out there and administrators that care deeply about the kids. There are. All right. But overall, what we're seeing happening is that while parents are not paying attention, the left is coming in through liberal entities, through these health care clinics that are closely aligned with Planned Parenthood. I know that for a fact. Through the teachers' education that are promoting all kinds of radical sexual ideas and confusion. And they're exposing our children to this, even in conservative communities. I know where Oakdale is. I've been to Oakdale. I've campaigned in Oakdale, Louisiana. It's a conservative country town. It's everywhere. Parents, God has given you the responsibility to oversee the education of your children. That includes the moral education and spiritual education. As I said, you can give others, you can delegate the authority, but you cannot delegate the responsibility. It's yours. All right, when we come back, State Senator Sylvia Allen from Arizona joins us about what's happening in their state with the radical sex ed curriculum. So don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christians' call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org /engage.
News. We can get it from many sources, but what can you trust these days? Where can you get news that doesn't make you as suspicious as you are informed? If you're looking for something better, for honest coverage of the latest news, one trusted news source I look to is the Washington Times. When preparing for the radio program and selecting guests to join me on the show, I will often read the Washington Times and have their reporters join me here on the program because I trust how they cover the news. Join me and more than 7 million readers who turn to the Washington Times every month to get real, trusted news. For a limited time only, listeners of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins will receive a special annual rate of $69.95 for the first year. Subscribe to the Washington Times and get this special offer by using my name and visiting washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins. That's washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins.
Are you a student? Do you know a student? Well, this year, students can apply for scholarships to attend FRC Action's Values Voter Summit at no cost. At VVS, students will join thousands of like-minded conservatives who care about the issues that are shaping our nation. They'll enjoy our student mixer trivia night, topics covering everything from history to politics to the upcoming 2020 election. They'll hear from key conservatives, including Ali Stuckey, Congressman Mark Meadows, Dana Lash, and more. They'll have the opportunity to pursue influential jobs and internships with reputable organizations at our job fair meet and greet. Students will also have the chance to learn how to impact our world by attending our student breakout sessions. From October 11th to 13th, come to Washington, D.C. for Values Voter Summit. This is one weekend no student should miss. Learn more about scholarships by visiting valuesvotersummit.org/students or by calling 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. Let me remind you once again, Values Voter Summit coming up October the 11th through the 13th. You will not want to miss it. To find out how you can be a part of it, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, as we were just talking about what's happening in Louisiana, and as I mentioned, it's not isolated to Louisiana. It's happening in every state. Conservative states, red states. You get these left-leaning educational types in these professional positions like superintendent of education or school boards, whatever it might be. And they open the door to this very explicit sexual material that really, if you step back dispassionately and just look at it, you'd say, man, that looks like it's enticing kids to do things they probably never even heard of. Well, that's the concern that many parents in Arizona have. Joining me now is Arizona State Senator Sylvia Allen. She, too, is outraged and is trying to rein in this very explicit curriculum that has made its way into the schools in Arizona. State Senator Sylvia Allen, thanks so much for joining us here on Washington Watch.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I appreciate being on your show.
Now, you've expressed concern, as has the House Speaker, Russell Bowers, who said last Thursday that he believes that these materials are, quote, grooming children to be sexualized, end quote. Do you share his concern?
Yes, I do, because I believe that when it talks about comprehensive sex education, that's exactly what they mean. It's very comprehensive, very detailed. They leave nothing out. And when you read the material, you can only come to the conclusion that if they're going to give young children five and up different types of information, the only reason for that is because you are give them information to help sexualize them. And as we know, medical and mental professionals, as well as parents, we do not want our young children sexualized. They'll be much happier and better off if they wait until they're adults to become sexually active.
Now, what role do the parents play in this? How are they informed? What can they do?
Thank you for bringing that up, because that's my main reason for being very involved in this, because I believe that these programs are going against the vast majority of parents and what parents want taught to their children about this subject. And so parents are up in arms and have started the Arizona Parent Coalition to protect Arizona children against comprehensive sex education programs. And now in Arizona, we do have in statute the process by which curriculum must be chosen. In Arizona, we have local control over curriculum, so that means parents have got to be active in their school district to see what their school district might want to propose on this subject. And they have to show 60 days before the school board adopts these new curriculums. They have to present it to the public and have two public hearings. And so what we're trying to do is to help inform parents about what's happening in the state and get them involved in their own districts to watch for these types of programs.
Now, do parents, is there a requirement that parents be informed ahead of time as to what their children are going to be exposed to?
What we require is that any new curriculum must be presented to the public 60 days before it is adopted by a school board. And then there must be two hearings by the school board on the new curriculum. So, yes, parents are to be notified. Now, if a school district goes ahead and adopts one of these new programs, well, right now, what I'm going to be making very clear within our statutes that parents must sign their children into these to the sex education programs and have been able to review the curriculum before they sign the permission slip. So I'm going to do a little bit of reforming of our curriculum, of our statutes as they stand right now.
Excellent. So that would be more of an opt-in, where parents would have to opt their children into mm-hmm. this curriculum.
Right. The way it is now, it's an opt-out.
Right.
So I'm changing it to an opt-in.
Excellent. And I think that's the way it is. That way parents have to, take more of a pause into actually looking at what the material is before they opt their children into it. And oftentimes this material is presented in such a way where, you know, parents really don't know what it is, and so they're reluctant to opt their children out. So I think that's a much better approach to engaging parents, which everybody says, both left and right, say they want more parental engagement, but it certainly doesn't look like it when you see these types of programs, especially when it comes to sex ed, being slipped into our classrooms.
Exactly. And so we're just going to make sure in the new reform language, it's going to be clear that the parents are informed where they are to go see the curriculum so that they'll see it before they sign the reform, the permission slip. So we're just trying to get parents involved and make sure that they understand what's happening in their schools. And this has been an issue. I haven't seen an issue for a while that's really brought communities together. I mean, it's a nonpartisan issue. Parents from both parties, from any of our political parties, are concerned about this and want to be involved.
Well, Senator Allen, I think part of the reason is that when we talk about sex ed, people, parents, tend to think back to what they saw when they were in school. This is explicit, and I would agree with your colleague. I think this is grooming them to be sexualized, even exploited, because of how graphic this material is. This is not your mom's sex education. Not at all.
No, it's not. I couldn't even read the manual to you over the radio.
You couldn't.
Some of the manuals that I've seen because of, there was an effort to remove a line from our statute that reads, shall not include the teaching of abnormal, deviant, or unusual sexual acts and practices. And so there was an effort made by our superintendent to remove that line mm-hmm. and, to open up the way for there to be able to be discussions on all kinds of sexual acts And
no place in the classroom for that. No place.
There isn't.
At all.
You know, these issues are
Senator
very
Allen,
we're
up against a break. Got to leave it there, but I want to thank you for joining us, and thanks for your leadership. Stay with us, folks. Coming back.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C. And learn how you can, too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Well, speaking of targeting youth, is that what the e-cigarette industry is doing, the vaping industry? As of late September, there have been 805 confirmed and probable cases of severe lung disease and 12 deaths linked to vaping in the U.S., with some of the patients in their teens. Now, that's all individuals. An estimated 3 million U.S. adolescents currently use e-cigarettes, including those who never smoked cigarettes, according to a recent study by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Now, the reaction has been swift. The Trump administration signaled a forthcoming ban on all non-tobacco-flavored e-cigarette products. See, they have a lot of these flavors. In fact, one young man said these flavors are drawing them in, but it's the nicotine that is forcing them to stay. Now, governors in New York, Massachusetts, Michigan, Rhode Island, and Washington have moved to sharply restrict or even eliminate the sales of e-cigarette products. Well, joining me now to talk about this is Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, who co-authored a USA Today op-ed column entitled Vaping Oversight is a Top Concern. And he has been raising the concerns about this, the fact that people see this as really having no health consequences, when in fact the evidence is beginning to show otherwise. Secretary Azar, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the concerns about targeting youth. They have these different flavors that, as I said, one young person said, the flavors are drawing us in, but it's the nicotine that once we're in, that we're exposed to, that keep us there. Is that a concern?
It's absolutely a concern. Nicotine is highly addictive, and, you know, it can harm brain development in adolescents and children, even individuals up to age 25, frankly. A single pod, and these things, these e-cigarette things often have a pod, can contain as much nicotine as an entire pack of cigarettes. But you don't know that. You don't know how much you're getting in. You don't know what concentration you're getting in. And kids who start on these e-cigarettes are more likely than non-users to migrate to smoking combustible tobacco. It's a real epidemic that we have seen. A lot of people say, oh, we have to have these products available for adults. And, you know, if we can get an adult to stop smoking cigarettes and move to an e-cigarette for that nicotine fix, well, that's a good thing in terms of the public health. But right now we have 8 million adults using e-cigarettes, and five million kids are using e-cigarettes.
That seems to be your focus now. The opponents of the recommendations or the regulations that are being put forth by your agency are saying, wait a minute, this is less harmful than tobacco. You're not arguing that point. I think the point that you've put forth is that this is actually enticing children or youth to do something they hadn't done before, exposing them to something that is a health concern.
That's right. These kids weren't smoking tobacco. These kids are being enticed by the allure of these products and the smell, the mango and bubble gum and flavors like that. Some of them are relatively cool-looking, trendy devices. They're able to conceal them from administrators and from parents. And they get a buzz. They get a nicotine buzz that rapidly becomes an addiction. And, you know, we've seen this explosion of youth use, and what it's meant is parents and families and teachers and administrators at schools, they have lost power, they've lost control, and that's what the president wants to do, is put them back in the driver's seat so that they can help keep their kids away from these highly addictive, attractive substances.
So, Secretary Azar, what is being proposed by the administration?
Yeah, so some people have used the word ban. It's not actually a ban. Congress has a statute. It's called the Tobacco Control Act. And the statute says that before any e-cigarette can be on the market, they have to go to the Food and Drug Administration, which I run, and you have to get approval. You have to get, just like with any drug or medical device, go in and get approval that it's in the public health interest that your product should be on the market. And what the president said is, any of these products that are attractive to kids that are causing this epidemic, we want them off the market. You need to come in and get approval by FDA before you go back on the market. So it's a pause button that will let FDA control the nicotine levels, the other ingredients in the product to make sure that is safe, make sure the device can't be manipulated as a marijuana delivery device or for unsafe purposes, and also regulate how you're going to distribute the product to make sure it's not attractive and available to our kids. Mm-hmm. And so the actions of the president here to put parents and teachers back in charge and empower them in their relations and interactions with their kids.
Now, Secretary Azar, is it also safe to say that we don't actually know all of the consequences that could come from vaping?
We know very little about it because these products have not been brought before FDA through the regulatory process. We don't have the data that these manufacturers have, if they even have the data about what is the addiction level, what are the risks of the other salts and ingredients that are in these products. And that's exactly what putting them through the regulatory process will enable us to do. And, you know, President Trump and I are not fans of regulation,
right?
But we got to protect these kids, and we got to empower parents and families.
It sounds like the responsible thing to do. Secretary Azar, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us, and once again, thank you for your leadership.
Thank you so much, Tony.
All right, Secretary Alex Azar. All right, don't go away. More to come. Travis Weber joins me next as we break down the stories from today. That's next. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. I want to invite you to join Luana and myself, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through June the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman. For decades, the nation's leading abortion supplier has claimed to be the champion of women's rights, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Planned Parenthood has repeatedly violated the law and violated women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the devastating effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities, Planned Parenthood is an organization that not only promotes a culture of death, but makes it a reality. In a new brochure from FRC, you will find evidence that will challenge your assumptions about Planned Parenthood and equip you with the information you need to be a true champion for women and the lives of unborn children. To order this brochure and to download your free digital copy, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
It's almost that time of year. FRC Action's annual Values Voter Summit is just around the corner, but there is still time to register. Join thousands of like-minded conservatives who, just like you, care about the state of our nation and want to do their part in protecting and promoting religious freedom and the sanctity of life, free speech, and marriage and the family. From October 11th through the 13th, come to Washington, D.C. to attend FRC Action's Values Voter Summit and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington. And learn how you can too. FRC Action President Tony Perkins will be there along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and Congressman Mark Meadows. The 2020 elections are fast approaching, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. Ask about our scholarship for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Washington Watch. So glad that you are with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, let me remind you, coming up October the 11th through the 13th, the Values Voter Summit at the Omni Shoreham Hotel here in Washington, D.C. It is the premier social conservative event. You'll get a chance not only to hear from political and religious thought leaders and conservative activists. You'll also get a chance to just spend time with like-minded conservatives from across the nation. And it's very encouraging. You realize you're not alone. So there's still room. Go to TonyPerkins.com and sign up today. I mentioned this at the top of the show. An Illinois state representative, Daniel Dittich, proposed legislation at the end of last week that would prohibit the state from reimbursing state employees from all three branches of government if they traveled to states with pro-life laws, which effectively ban abortion. Now, just by way of context, Illinois is the state in which the former, now deceased, abortionist Ulrich Klopfer had his home, in which nearly 2,500 aborted babies were found stashed away in his garage like they were memorabilia. Now, Illinois has some of the worst laws when it comes to the sanctity of human life. And so if anything, in my view, we should, other states should restrict access or travel to Illinois out of risk of a state in which they do not respect human life. Well, here to join me in discussing this is our Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs, Travis Weber. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Look, it appears that it's not enough that Illinois passes one of the most radical pro-abortion laws in the country, which allows birthday abortions. I mean, literally aborting a baby on the day of its birth up to its day of birth. Now we've got a state representative who objects to using state funds to pay for the travel of a government official to a pro-life state. I mean, this is reminiscent of what we saw back when the bathroom battles were going on because people wanted to protect the privacy. You had states like New York and others saying, we won't allow people to travel to those states. I mean, I don't even know what adjective to use to describe this.
Tony, I think it's just preposterous at a time when we've got a ex-abortionist who was found with the bodies of over 2,000 babies in his facilities, and they're still investigating this. The state authorities in Illinois and Indiana still investigating to discover the depths of this horror at a time when we're looking at someone who stored as trophies the bodies of over 2,000 babies. This state representative is going to focus on trying to penalize other states for trying to protect life instead of turning his attention to what is going on in Illinois, people storing the bodies of unborn children in their home. I mean, that's the real story here. And this is just, it's shameful that they're using their energy to focus on other states' pro-life achievements.
Now, he was very clear that this was not a boycott. What justification did he give for this, and how did he describe it?
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to claim it's not a boycott. He's trying to claim that this is to protect women's health for women who might need abortion-related services, supposedly, when they travel to other states on Illinois government business. And he also tried to claim that this is to prevent women from who might miscarry in another state from getting who quote could get tangled in something out of their control. That's the attempted justification here. I think that's really some spin trying to get, you know, the focus off of what the actual purpose of the bill is, which is to try to penalize and send a message in opposition to states who are trying to protect life. Because really, if you're just interested in protecting women's health care, I mean, everyone wants women to have health care, to have valid health care, they could have just stated that. But that's not what the bill states. The bill states a position of opposition to states with pro-life laws.
Now, we'll be very clear. I'm not at all opposed to people. In fact, we advocate here for people to be good stewards of the resources they have and to spend it with businesses and entities that reflect their values so that they're not giving their money to, you know, businesses like Walmart and others who are, you know, pursuing a social policy and agenda that is counter to yours. But this is a bit different. And what we're seeing consistently is that we're seeing the left that has the controls of the levers of government, using government to punish other states to try to force them into compliance with their views. I mean, under our federalist system, you know, we kind of have respect for different states doing different things. People congregate in one state, you know, shared values. But this could cut both ways. I mean, think about this for a moment. States that are moving to restrict guns. You could have states that are, you know, very aggressive defenders of the Second Amendment say, we're not going to allow our people to travel to states that restrict gun ownership. So, I mean, this thing could, if they want to go down this path, it could go the other way.
It could cut both ways, Tony, as you're pointing out. You know, the other story here is that this representative is spending his energy trying to penalize other states for their pro-life measures at a time when Illinois decline in population is one of the highest states, at a time when their economy is shrinking faster than most other states. The state is not succeeding in serving its citizens well and is losing people, losing economic power to other states. And, you know, you've got folks like this representative focused on trying to penalize other states for their pro-life achievements rather than help Illinois recover for its own citizens' well economic and well-being in other respects.
Right. And just to put this in perspective, Travis, in the first 6 months of 2019, 12 states passed some form of protective pro-life law. In fact, most of this was in response to what happened in New York, where, remember, New York being the first, Cuomo saying that, you know, look, we're going to celebrate, you know, abortion up to the day of birth. And, you know, states reacted in horror at this idea that a baby who survived the first attempt on their life and happened to be born alive would not be given medical attention. And so as a result of that, a national dialogue began, including the president in his State of the Union address. And what pro-life states did, or states that have conservative leadership, they changed their laws to make sure they were in alignment with protecting and ensuring that this type of behavior didn't happen in their states. They didn't restrict travel to New York, responding the way the left does. The left wants to influence others or control others instead of simply, you know, taking care of what is legitimately under their control.
Tony, they're being petty about it because you see massive pro-life gains over the last year in a number of states. There's really a groundswell of pro-life support. They can't stand that message. But in order to distract from it, they're trying to put forth these bills seemingly targeting other states based on pro-life positions in a way that tries to denigrate and get at that pro-life message. But ultimately, I really believe the pro-life message that's being sent is going to prevail because when people look at this doctor in Indiana and Illinois who stored these babies, that is the face of death, which represents much of the abortion movement in terms of what the movement is about. You have a doctor who once associated with this guy, calling him pathological, comparing him to the fictional character Hannibal Lecter. This individual who stored these babies in his facilities.
In his garage.
And they're still investigating to
at
see
his home.
Where,
I mean, in his it's home. Crazy. This
they're
is
still,
sick.
It is sick. And they're still there. I hope they get to the bottom of this. You have a number of folks calling for investigations. The Indiana Republican delegation has their names on demands for action on this, on bills to address this issue now. But why can't this Illinois representative join us in finding a solution to this if he wants
deal with it? And there's a very specific solution. It's not just the investigation as to why it happened, but it's also proactive steps to make sure it doesn't happen again by protecting the bodies of babies who are aborted.
Exactly. Exactly. And so part of my knowledge, I haven't heard anything from him on that. And that would address this situation and prevent this type of horror from happening.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Joining me is Travis Weber. He's the Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs here at the Family Research Council. Travis, I want to shift gears. Earlier in the program, we had Congressman Ralph Abraham of Louisiana on talking about a survey that is coming through the school health clinics in Louisiana. In particular, what drew attention to this was a mother, Kristen Willis in Oakdale, she's a single mom. Her son went to, according to the information we have, went to the school health clinic to get a physical for football, middle school, and was asked some very explicit questions about, you know, does he engage in, what type of sexual activity does he engage in? Does he do it with other boys? Does he do it with girls? And, you know, again, some very explicit questions. Now, she found out about it when he went home. He said something to his mom, and, you know, she went public with that. Well, come to find out, again, this wasn't one-off. It didn't happen to be just in this one school. But this, as we were talking about with Congressman Ralph Abraham, really fueled by Obamacare and a grant of about $200 million went to these school-based health clinics. But it's within the hierarchy of Louisiana and the Department of Health and Hospitals. So it's overseen by the state officials. It's happening in 60 locations across the state. What I shared with Congressman Abraham, though, so shocking, is that this was the first time it became public knowledge that it was taking place, and it's simply because one mom spoke up.
Tony, this really speaks to the power of one person to make a difference. All it takes is one person to really raise their voice and bring light to an issue. So much of what we're facing these days, these sex ed issues that we've talked about, other issues, it really requires us to illuminate the problem. We would just bring light into hidden places where there's darkness. People, I think we'd start to see a lot of movement on these issues. On the sex ed issue specifically, I think there are a lot of things going on in our public schools that parents would object to. They just are unaware of them. And this really speaks to the need to get engaged, understand what's going on in your kid's school, to ask your child about what they're being taught and what they're hearing in school, and then engage in a multitude of ways at the local level, at your school board level, at the state level. There are a host of things we can do here if we organize and raise our voices to help bring light to these issues.
See, I think the left, those that are pushing this agenda, and I had a state senator from Arizona, Sylvia Allen, that was on, and you and I have talked about this case, where the House Speaker in Arizona is saying that he believes this material is grooming children to be sexualized and you know, I would say exploited. And they're counting on, those that are pushing this agenda are counting on parents not paying attention or not saying anything about it out of fear of standing against what they might think is status quo. But when one parent stands up, all of a sudden others rally behind that parent. We just need parents to be leaders, to show some initiative and stand up, and others will rally to you. Because I, when it comes to our children, I believe we have much more in common in sharing a concern over what they're exposed to than what we do not share in common.
Tony, I think this is a good point. You know, we've seen the ability of one person speaking up and letting their voice be heard. We've seen that make a difference in other areas, as you and I well know. On the issue of religious freedom, as people face the changes in our country and take a stand in the public square for their beliefs, we've seen this on the life issue recently with a church engaging on our end birthday abortion campaign. On the sex ed issue, it's going to take parents getting involved. I do think the numbers are on our side, and even the position. People agree with us on this issue, but we need to make our voices heard and really engage and make an impact.
I could not agree more. Travis Weber, thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Thanks, Tony.
Folks, I'm going to encourage you. Speak out. In fact, if you're in Louisiana, this is most likely happening in your school. It is. And you can call the governor. Call Governor Edwards. And tell him, look, put a stop to this. In fact, I'll give you a phone number you can call. His switchboard number is 225-342-7015, 225-342-7015. But look, parents, again, be informed. Ask your children what they're being taught. What have they been told? You know, make it such that your children feel comfortable telling you, even things that are shocking. But then don't be afraid to stand up and speak out, and you'll find that other parents are just as shocked and appalled at what their children are being exposed to as you are. Stand up. Speak out. All right, folks, you know what that music means. It means we're out of time for today. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.